Hi, welcome to the Potter's Roundtable. This is Pottery Shorts, a series of short pottery topics done on the fly.
Welcome to the Potter's Roundtable, a monthly podcast where we share our passion for the ceramic arts and a collection of topics specific to potters. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is another edition of Pottery Shorts. I'm Phil Bernberg, and today's topic is controlled drying. Well, the goal of all drying methods, whatever your approach is, should be uniform drying. Because clay shrinks as it dries, you want all the parts of a piece, whatever that is, to dry and shrink at the same rate, the same speed, to avoid two things. You want to avoid warping of the soft clay. If one part starts to dry and shrink before another, it can pull at the parts that the other parts of the piece and cause distortion or warping. Basically, that's the cause of the warping. It can also cause cracking, where the clay is actually torn apart by excessive shrinkage. If two parts next to each other shrink away from another, they can actually form a crack. Well, we want to avoid both of those instances during drying. Left open to dry in an uncontrolled manner, there are certain things that happen that you're probably aware of. Well, first of all, thin parts are going to dry faster than thick parts. And appendages, anything that sticks out from a pot, like handles, a mug handle, or appendages, handles on a tureen or something, they're going to tend to dry faster than other parts. And also, just as the pot is sitting, parts that are higher up on the pot are going to tend to dry faster than lower parts. In both cases, the appendages and the upper and lower thing is because they're just more exposed to air currents. And the faster the air, the more air there is moving around them, the more it can carry away the moisture, and the faster they'll dry. So if I have a mug or a pitcher just sitting on it, let's say I've just thrown it and it's sitting on a bat, the lip and the rim of the pitcher and the handles will tend to dry faster than the bottom part, the base. It's important to remember that drying is really a two-stage process. During the first stage, the clay is drying, but it's also shrinking. During the second stage, the drying is continuing, but the shrinkage has ended. Okay? So it's really important to control the speed and the uniformity of the drying during the first stage, when the clay is free to move, when the clay can shrink and move. So, for example, when you're drying, you want to make sure that the thin parts don't get too far ahead of the thicker parts during the drying. In terms of, you don't want them to get too dry and to start shrinking too much before other parts are also shrinking and drying. Unless you have a drying cabinet or some kind of an enclosure where the moisture in the air can actually be measured and then gradually lowered. And by the way, this is how it's done in industry. They'll have a furnace or a drying oven where they measure the humidity, and then they gradually reduce the relative humidity in the air, which encourages the drying, but they can control the rate at which it dries. Well, unless you have that kind of a setup, the best method that I found for drying is what I call cover and uncover. And basically, so this is the way I would proceed. Basically, after throwing a piece, or let's say assembling a hand-built piece, I'd leave the piece open for a while to start the drying process. But I'd be careful not to allow any of the parts to become noticeably drier than others. So you could look at this maybe, and you look and start to see whether the color is changing, or whether the clay is losing its sheen. And the time, you can't give exact times for this, because how long to leave it open, because the timing really depends on things like, what's the humidity in the air? It's going to dry faster in the winter when you have the heat on than in the summer when the air is humid. And it's going to vary with the clay type. So there's no one set time that you can say, leave it open. You have to look at the clay. And then after a while, you'll learn with your clay how the clay responds. So then after I've left it open for a while, the second stage is, now I'm going to cover the pot up with thin plastic. I like to use the dry cleaner plastic you get from a dry cleaner, or you can buy really inexpensive painting tarps at places like Home Depot and Lowe's, and they're about the same thickness of this plastic, and you can, in a big sheet, and they can just cut it up into pieces. And we do that here at the studio. That works very well.
Thanks for watching this video. Please like, subscribe, and share it with your friends. And consider becoming a patron of our channel. visit www.patreon.com and search for the Potter's Roundtable. Any amount you give will support the creation of a digital library of educational videos and podcasts to support artists, potters, and educators now and into the future. If you would like more information about our membership studio, classes, events, and multimedia productions at Washington Street Studios, visit our website at www.hfclay.com.
So what I like to do is I'll cover up a pot. Let's say this is a bowl that I've thrown. And I'll cover it up with the plastic and just let it sit. And what I'm trying to do here is when it sits, the moisture, these are water molecules, really big water molecules. These are water molecules that are in the air. And so that what I'm trying to do by covering it and letting it sit for a while is I'm trying to let the moisture equalize in all parts so that if, let's say before I covered it, the rim was getting a little drier than the bottom. If I cover it up and let it sit, some of the moisture will be reabsorbed by the drier parts and some of the wetter parts can release some of the moisture so that if I let it sit long enough, the moisture content everywhere under this tent will be the same. And so all the parts of the pot get a chance to sort of equalize, okay? So then that might be several hours or it might even be overnight. Typically, when I do this, I might let the pot sit overnight. Then the next step is I uncover it again. So now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to resume the drying. And at this point, if the pot has gotten, or whatever it is, if the piece has a section that's noticeably thicker, I'll try to turn the pot over. As long as the pot, or as long as whatever the piece is, it can support itself, I'll try to turn it over to expose that thicker part to the air current so that it can sort of dry a little faster. And now I'll leave it uncovered for a while and I'll look at the clay and I'll watch it to make sure that no part is getting way ahead of any other part. And then I'll cover it up again. And so now when I cover it up again, presumably my little bowl has gotten a little drier. Maybe some parts again have gotten drier than others. But now it's gotten, and I let it equalize, but now it's equalizing at a lower moisture content. Because there's less moisture in the pot, there's less moisture coming out of the pot. I still want it to equalize, but there's less water trapped under the plastic. So the whole this gives it a chance for all the parts to reach the same moisture level again. And then what I'll do is, and then if necessary, I'll just repeat this process. I'll cover it, uncover it, and gradually get it to where it's dry enough. And I finally. And I'm also turning the pot as I go along to expose more upper surfaces. Finally, when I get to the point of what I call hard leather hard or firm leather hard, this is the end of the first stage of drying that I referred to. And at this point, you can leave the pot open to finish drying. Well, how do you know that you're at that stage? Well, at this point, the clay is not really soft and plastic anymore, and it's not easily indented. Even with your fingernail, you'd have to push a little hard to sort of indent the clay. Also, I found the clay sounds solid. I can actually take my finger and thump it with the clay, and it sounds kind of hard and solid. It no longer feels plastic or movable. It may still look damp because, of course, at this point, it still is not dry. It's just that the clay particles have stopped shrinking. That's the end of the first stage. Well, at this point now, I can leave it open to finish drying. The final point to make is that the timing, as I referred to earlier, for each one of these steps really is different. It depends on the clay body, how plastic it is, how easily it is for the moisture to get out of it. Does it contain grog? Does it contain fibers? How much does it shrink during drying? It also depends on the differences in the thickness. If I have a piece that has very thick parts and on the same piece, it might be a sculpture piece, for example, where I have very thick parts and very thin parts, then the timing is going to be different for these thick parts to dry out without having the thin parts get too dry in advance. And finally, even the overall size of the piece, the amount of moisture that I have trapped in this piece is going to control or relate to how slowly I need to gradually reduce the moisture level to get it to dry. And I found at least if you follow this process, you really can completely avoid cracking problems that are due to drying. So anyway, I hope this information has been useful and thank you for joining us today. Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the presentation, please like it and subscribe to our channel and share it with your friends. This way we get more viewers of our videos. Also, check out our website, www.hfclay.com. We'd really like to thank our patrons for supporting our educational efforts, such as these videos. And if you'd like to consider becoming a patron, go to patreon.com and look for the Potter's Roundtable.
The Potter's Roundtable is brought to you by Washington Street Studios and our patrons. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and tell your friends. If you want to learn more about Washington Street Studios and shared studio memberships, please visit our website at www.hfclay.com. Thank you, and we'll see you again next time on the Potter's Roundtable.